So now we get to deal with the issue that strikes fear into the heart of most salespeople: objections. How to close the sale? How do we really turn those objections into commitments? That's what step 9 here is all about. And the thing I'm excited about is you're going to find that it's a lot of fun. That when somebody gives you an objection, you should be in celebration, not in a situation where you're afraid or concerned. And if you've done your job all the way up till now, again, what you've done is you've prepared. Again, you put yourself in a peak state so you can get the most out of yourself. You've been in a situation where you've made contacts, plenty of them. You know it's still a numbers game. The more you make, the more you make. You got people's attention when you did it. You connected with them emotionally, and you got their interest, so they really were engaged. You then enrolled them. You found out who they really are. You know what drives this person. You know the reasons behind what makes them tick. You know what some of their psychic wounds are. You know what some of their buying patterns are. So you know what urban, what emotional reasons they have for buying right now. They know what logic they need to back it up. You know what some of their fears are. You really have a handle on who this person is. You're also in a position where you've created a lot of conviction. You've given them lots of reasons to buy, and they're really waiting over here, and you've test closed and noticed, yeah, this person really is doing pretty well. And so now you're going for a close, and then somebody gives you an objection. What happens? No need to be afraid. Chance to celebrate. Why? What is an objection? Well, first of all, most people look at objections as something stopping the progress towards a sale. I have the direct opposite belief that when somebody gives you an objection, you are now about to have your turbocharger kick in. You now have an opportunity to close the sale. In many cases, if you don't get an objection, you're not going to get the sale. The objection provides for you an opportunity, having met all the rest of the needs, to find the one fear, the one drab, the one dominant reason that this person's avoiding buying, so that you can hit it straight on, so you can find out the way they're looking at something and reframe them. Have them look at it another way, be able to answer the question, take away that level of uncertainty, and close the sale. Until you know the objection, you can't have the sale. So what is an objection? Number one, it's an opportunity to know what's really going on in your customer's mind. Which the only way you can influence somebody is if you know what's really going on in their head, not just what they're giving you non-verbally. Secondly, it gives you an opportunity to understand, what are these person's beliefs right now? What are some of their fears that are driving them at this moment? And by having that information, you'll know how to influence the person. You'll know what to deal with. You'll know where you are and where you need to go. Thirdly, I believe that objections really are the strongest opportunity you've got to close. You now have a reason to close, and they provide for you a chance to find out the real question that's in somebody's mind. Because I believe objections are nothing but questions in disguise. And if we can show a person that their objection is really a question, then we can turn it around. The biggest mistake that most salespeople make is that when somebody gives them an objection, the first thing they do is try and fight, right? Salesperson says, okay, I'm gonna be stronger than they are, and we're gonna fight this thing out. And that is a huge mistake. The whole key to influencing people is to align with them, to be on their side, to really honestly, in your gut, see things from their perspective. If somebody gives me an objection, I will close very strongly to get them to go for the sale if I have qualified them, if I know I'm really meeting their needs. And the reason I'll do that is I'll be on their side, but I'll ask this question of myself and of the prospect. And the question is, in my mind, I'll say, in spite of their fears or concerns, will they still benefit much more than what they're fearing? Will the benefits that they get from this be much more than the concerns that they have? And if the answer in my gut and in their gut is, obviously there's more benefits than there are problems, they're going to get a lot more back than what they're putting out, then I'm going to stick with that person and help them till they perceive that there's another way to look at this that makes sense to them. Now, when should you handle an objection? Well, the traditional view is, well, of course, when it comes up. And the answer to that, to me, is no. The most successful persuaders, the people who earn $250,000 or more all the time, consistently, their view is handle the objection up front. I call it pre-framing, which means in advance, I'm going to frame your mind on what something's going to mean so you know how to feel about it. If I know the cost of my product is a challenge, then of course I want to brag about it up front. I don't want to wait till you come later on and say, you know, you're awful expensive. Up front, I'm going to talk to you about it, and I'm going to tell you why it costs so much, and I'm going to brag about it, that that's what sets us apart. The best way to handle an objection is brag about it. Brag about it in advance, and no one can really attack it later on. It's a critical thing to do if you want to be successful also in your communication in life. Secondly, the best time and the best way to prevent objections then, besides handling them in advance, is the following. One, have such a strong level of rapport that the person doesn't want to object to you. And haven't you dealt with customers like that? It's like, they like you so much, they don't want to say no. And that's a very useful thing. It'll give you more leverage. It'll give you more ways, more reasons to compel them to move ahead. Secondly, if you use test closes, you'll find that'll handle a lot of objections in advance because they'll never get to the point of being objections. You'll find out up front that they don't have enough conviction in an area. So use your test closes, and you know the three that we talked about earlier. Thirdly, use unconscious tools of influence. If you use reciprocation, it handles a lot of objections. If you give, and you try and give them 100 times more than what they would expect, you cannot believe what that does to objections because they feel like they owe you. And part of how they'll pay you back is not giving any objections because those are kind of small compared to what you've given them. Does that make sense? Another one that's really valuable is using contrast. You know, using contrast may be one of the more important things you can do on yourself to make sure that your life is balanced. You know, whenever I feel like frustrated or angry or upset, the way I balance myself out is not to say, well, I should feel good or I should feel positive. The way I do it is I use contrast. I say, okay, you can feel this way, Tony. I align with myself, same way I would with anybody else. And then I'd say, let me ask you a question. Where were you 6 years ago? Let me ask you a question. Who are some of the people you know who would give anything to have the problems you have now? Would you have given anything to have those problems you have now 6 years ago? And so what I try and use is some contrast on myself. And by doing that, I can usually change my state about anything. Contrast is invaluable in affecting people. I don't care who it is. If you can show them how what they're getting is so much more than something else, it enhances its value. So that'd be another example. Another one would be valuable for you is just to come from the place that in order to handle an objection, the best time to do it is up front. But if it comes up, what you want to do is kill the monster while it's a baby. You don't want to wait for the monster to become full grown and fully rooted. The time to handle the objection was when it's just a little tiny little thing. That's the time to handle it. Don't let them build it into this monster. Handle it up front in that way. Now, what is the basic philosophy of handling objections? Well, I'd say the most important aspect of handling objections from my standpoint is what I've already said, and that is that when somebody gives you an objection, your way of dealing with the objection should not be to crush them. Your way of dealing with the objection should not be to see the objection and say, I am here to conquer that. If you come from that frame, you may destroy the objection, but you also destroy your rapport, and you will not influence the person at the deepest level. The most important thing to do with objections is no matter what somebody says, is to be able to be on their side. Try something for a second. Put your hands above your head like so. And as you put them above your head, put your right and left hand against each other. And what I want you to do when I say now is I want you to push as hard as you possibly can with your right hand. Ready? Go. Push as hard as you possibly can. Push harder. Push harder. Come on. Push harder. I didn't say push back. Push harder. Push harder. Come on. Come on. Push harder. I didn't say push back. Push harder. Push harder. I didn't say push back. Push harder. Push harder with your right hand. Push harder. Why are your hands still up? I'll tell you why. Because in life, whenever somebody pushes, the other person is going to push back, even when that other person is still you. And in life, what we have to learn to do is not push, because sooner or later, you might be stronger than other people, and you might be able to push them over the edge and make them buy, but sooner or later, somebody is going to be stronger than you. Plus, that's called short-term influence. Long-term influence comes from people knowing that you care and believing that you are like them, you're intelligent, and you're sharing something from an intelligent viewpoint that will make a difference in their life. So no matter what the objection is, you've got to be able to align with that person. So what I'd like to share with you right now are 10 steps to handling any objection. They're quick, they're easy, they're fun. A master of these 10 will make you a better closer than virtually anybody around you because it'll make you where you don't just respond with some automatic, memorized set of phrases that you say all the time. Now, it's useful to have information that you can say without having to think about it, obviously. But these 10 steps will get you to find out the core of someone's motivation behind the objection. Remember, what you and I want to do to be effective is we want to know not only what their objection is, but why are they objecting? What are their reasons? Once we know their reasons, we can then use those same reasons as reasons for them to buy, just by having them look at it in a little bit different light. But we've got to know the gut level reaction of what is driving that person right now. So let's go through a 10-step process on how to handle objections. And we've done it in the form of a cartoon for you again. And this one is like 10 little cartoon strips, the 10 steps, one after another. And the cartoon is how to turn a vicious Viking, that's who your objector is, into a happy friend. And step nine, as you can see in your books and so forth, is this person here who is the prospect who's got this large objection. And we have our master salesperson. And what you'll notice is that they convert objections into commitments. And the way that he does it is he takes his spear of objection and converts it literally into a question. But let's break it down into 10 steps. But before I do, I want to make sure you hear this. So sit up in your chair. Come on, right now, sit up in your chair. Create some more energy in your body. And I want you to put yourself in the kind of state you'd be in if you were really excited about learning to master a simple process so that from now on, when somebody gives you an objection, instead of you cringing or going, oh God, how am I going to handle that one? Or, oh boy, I better snap back right away with the answer. Instead of all that stuff, well, when somebody gives you an objection, you smile and think, ah, great. That means I'm about to get the sale. Where in your gut, that's really true. Not because you've got a bunch of affirmations, but because you've got a system that really works. And I'm going to ask you to memorize this system and utilize it. You'll find it easy and fun, but put yourself in a state where you can get it. Let's go through it, the 10 steps, one at a time. The first step to being able to handle these objections, step number one, we'll start with down here at the bottom. The first thing you always do when somebody gives you an objection is ignore it. So you can see here the guy throwing our objection, and our hero, the master persuader, is just standing there very calmly with a big smile on his face. Ignore it. Why? Because he may not mean it. Most of the objections people come up with automatically are just that. They're automatic objections. They're not thinking about them a whole lot. You walk into a store and somebody asks you a question like, can I help you? And again, what's your immediate answer usually? No, I'm just looking. All right. So what you want to do instead is, first of all, as a salesperson, you want to ask better questions to start with, like, what's your favorite color? Or, I'm curious, what's the weather like outside? Anything that engages the person instead of giving them a yes or no answer. But if somebody gives you an objection, the first thing to always do is ignore it. You know why? You don't want to answer objections that aren't real. See, the biggest challenge I think most salespeople have is their fear of objections, number one. Number two, their belief that they immediately have to fight down an objection or bury it because otherwise they'll lose the sale, which is not true. Objections are your friends. And three, their unbelievable desire to try and answer every possible objection that could possibly come up before it does, and handling a lot of objections that really aren't even there. And four, I guess, would be coming from a place of answering objections that aren't real. You know, people come up with an automatic response that really isn't that important, but the salesperson immediately attacks it. Don't be so excited to attack an objection. Let the thing fly by you and take a good look as it goes by. Just kind of ignore it. Now, step two, if somebody keeps giving the objection, step two is hear the person out. Hear them out. Why? Because he may run out of steam during that process. So we've got a little Viking here, and he's screaming. You can see steam coming off him here. And here's our guy holding his ear, listening up, saying, okay, I hear you. And have you ever noticed that sometimes people are really upset? And if all you'll do is shut up and not defend and just listen to them and really sincerely listen, that they run out of steam and pretty soon they answer their own objections? How many of you found that to be true in the past? Have you found that to be true in an argument? See, the problem is people have arguments. Somebody says something, they go, oh yeah, and they immediately want to defend and break it up. Ignore things. A lot of the arguments you get in your daily life with other people, if you just ignored what people said, you'd never be in the argument in the first place. You say, yeah, but that wouldn't be right. Be bigger. Ignore it. And then if they keep doing it, listen. And let them know you're listening and really be there with them. They'll probably run out of steam. Now, if after all that the person is still giving the objection, step three, feed it back. In parentheses I put, nicely. Feedback the objection. So sure enough, this person screams and throws his thing, and our master salesperson just takes it and just very nicely hands it back. How does that look? Well, let's say somebody says something like, it costs too much. What is the first thing you're going to do? Are you going to say, well, what do you mean by it costs too much? Are you going to say, well, it really doesn't cost too much when you compare it to, are you going to do any of those things? No. What are you going to do? Step number one, nice and loud, what are you going to do?
Ignore it.
Absolutely ignore it. Now, if they keep saying, look, you're not hearing me. I said it costs too much. What are you going to do? Step two, you're going to make sure you what?
Hear him out.
Listen and hear him out because he'll probably burn out. Now, if he comes back and says, I'm still telling you it costs too much, what's the next step? Feed it back. So what would you do? You'd say, it costs too much? And just feed it right back. It costs too much? What does this do? It puts the objection back in his pocket. In other words, he now has to defend his objection. You don't have to deal with it. It's like hot potato. He tries to throw the hot potato at you to make you deal with it. You go, no, here you go. It's yours. You can keep it. And now that person has to defend or explain. Cost too much? Well, yeah, it costs too much. I mean, come on. It costs too much compared to this other company and compared to that and compared to that. And many times, in trying to explain their objection, they talk themselves out of it. They start sounding stupid. How many of you have ever had a salesman use this on you and it really worked? Yeah, that way. You came up with objection and somebody just fed it back, and pretty soon you start thinking, well, this doesn't sound very good. You say, well, I guess it's okay. I know I've been guilty of it, or successful at it. Okay. Now, if you feed it back and he still brings it back to you, then what you want to do at this point is what you want to do is question it. Question the objection. And the way to question is not go, why are you saying that? You don't want to say, why are you saying that? That puts me on the defensive. Instead, what you want to do is you want to come back to this person and say, you know, I know you've got reasons for saying that. Notice I didn't say, I know you have good reasons. That would be verifying that they're good reasons. I just say something like, you know, I know you have reasons for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what they are? Again, you're getting permission, so you're being totally respectful. Person says, well, yeah. You say, what are they? And they say, well, it's reason X, Y, Z. And the reason I say it costs too much is because, you know, I've been to other places where it costs less. Go, okay, I can appreciate that. And what do? Next step, what you do is you make it a final objection. What did I say was one of the problems that salespeople have? They attack every objection. Most of them are not what I call threshold objections. Most objections people give you are not going to make or break the sale. They're just like coming up with stuff. Usually there's one or two major core fears or objections, or what we call DRABs, dominant reasons they're trying to avoid buying. And if you find out what the dominant one is and you handle that, it's easy. But you don't want to like have somebody say it costs too much, and then you answer the objection. You get them convinced it doesn't cost too much, but then what do they say? I don't have time. Or then they come back and you handle that they have time and they say, well, I don't have the education, or I'm not going to be in town, or something else. So it's important that if you're going to spend the kind of time to find out their motivation, that you get them to commit that this is the real objection. How do you do that? Well, again, you do it with questions. You've first back here, you've questioned them. You say, I know you have a reason for saying that. Do you mind if you tell me what it is? And they say, well, it's this and this and this. How do you make it a final objection? You say, well, just suppose that we're able to handle X, Y, Z. In other words, they say, the reason we can't do this is because of this. Well, just suppose we handled X, Y, Z and really met your needs in that area. Then in your opinion, do you feel that you would want to blank? What we're doing here is real simple. The way we make it a final objection is we use the as-if frame and a test close. The as-if frame and a test close. We say, okay, that's a reasonable reason. Let me ask you a question. If we could handle that though, just suppose we were able to handle that. Let's just suppose. If we could handle that, then would you want to go ahead? Would that be valuable for you? So we're asking an opinion, asking questions, saying, if we could handle that, would you move ahead? Why are we asking that? Because they may say, well, no, because I'd still be upset because I couldn't be here on that date. Or no, I still wouldn't do it because, and they'll tell you the real objection. Or they'll say, yeah, if we could handle that, if we could handle X, Y, Z, boy, then of course I'd do it. Yeah, if we could get the price where it was reasonable, of course I'd do it. If they say that, you now have a final objection. Do you follow me so far? Okay. So just let's review these first five steps. One, they throw an objection at us. What do? Stand tall and ignore it. Step two, if they keep on doing it, the next thing you do is what?
Hear
the person out because they may run out of steam. Step three, if they keep doing it, what do we need to do next?
Feedback.
That's right. And do it nicely. Don't go, cost too much, you know, and watch salespeople do that. Do it nicely. Cost too much? Let them do it. Now, if they still persist, then what do you want to do?
Question it.
That's right, question it. And the words that are very important for you to remember, don't just say, well, I know you got a good reason, or I know, I'm sure you got reasons for that. Just say, I'm sure you have reasons for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what they are? And I go, well, no. Well, what are they? I'm curious. And then they tell you, and you listen. Listen strongly when they tell you the reasons. When they tell you the reasons for their objection, you now have the power to close the sale because you now know what's motivating them. That's the exciting time. So be excited when you're in these steps. Now they told you. So now what do you say? You go to step five and you make it a what?
Final
objection. And the way you do that is you say, look, what if we took that problem, XYZ, and we handled it? Just suppose we handled it. Then in your opinion, do you think this would be something you'd want to do? What you're doing is getting a commitment, but it's an opinion, asking a question. They go, yeah, I think we would. Then all you have to do now is answer that objection. If they say no, then you can say, well, then what would prevent us from doing it? And they'll begin to tell you the real objection, and you won't waste your time on this one. Are we making sense so far? We're halfway there. These are the first five. The second five to handling objections are the following. And by the way, you might notice the transformation from an angry young man to a person who's yelling, to a person who's a little softer, to a person whose, you know, little ears here are starting to drop to the side, to a person here where they're kind of dropping down saying, well, yeah, if you could do that for me, I guess it could be okay. Okay? If we turn now and we go to the next five steps, we do it this way. And that is, we go to step six. Step number six is align with the prospect and provide a cushion. Align with the prospect and provide a cushion. In other words, they've now told you this is the real objection. The first thing you want to do is put them at ease. Do not just answer their objection. If way over here, as soon as somebody gives you an objection, you just jump on it and attack it. Even if you're successful in handling the objection, they don't feel heard, they don't feel respected, you don't know their motivation, you know nothing. And that's how 99% of the people try closing. They memorize a bunch of closes and they jump right on it. Take your time. You're learning about this human being. And hopefully you're not looking just for one sale, but you're looking for a long-term relationship where you got a friend and potentially a large number of sales in the future and a large number of referrals. The more you know about this person, the more power you're going to have to influence them in a positive way. So what do? Align with the prospect, provide a cushion. In other words, make them comfortable. So all of a sudden we have this person here, and how do we align with them? They go, look, it costs too much. It just does. What do you say? You say, I, he, they often. What is I, he, they often? You can say, I often hear people say that, or I've often felt that way myself. Or people tell me all the time that it costs too much, because you know what? It does. It's a large investment. You're right. How does it feel to have somebody absolutely confirm that you're right? Does it feel different than somebody says, hey, you're wrong. I know you think it costs too much, or it costs too much sometimes, but... See, that never works to convince somebody. If it does, it's always short term. See, words like but are common words that salespeople use that destroy sales. How do you feel when somebody says to you, I like you, but... I appreciate you, but... I respect that idea, but... That's a good idea, but... I'd like to buy a but. Anytime you use the word but, anything you said before that, you just negated. And it's a habit that many of us have. Now, it's useful to use it on yourself. If I say to you, I really want you to do this, but now that I think about it, let's have you do this instead. That's useful. I'm negating myself because I want you to focus on something new. However, or but, what happens when you do this to someone else, when they give you an idea and you say but, is you've negated them, and no one wants to be made wrong. Your job as a salesperson is not to go around destroying people's beliefs. Some beliefs people have are so strong, they would rather die than give them up. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and you knew that they knew they were wrong, but they wouldn't change because it just like, it was a strong held belief? Have you had to deal with that before? Have you ever been guilty of that? Of course not, but probably people you know. The point is that what we want to do as professional salespeople is know what this person's beliefs are and align with them. So two ways of turning the objection, or excuse me, aligning with the prospect and making a cushion. One is say, I, he, they, and give them examples that other people too have felt the same way and that they're right. Give them that. That immediately makes them relax. They're not up here with their dukes ready to try and fight you. The other three phrases that you can learn to use are very powerful, and I talked about them in my book, Unlimited Power. They're called the agreement frames. The agreement frames. And there are three phrases that if you use these, well, let me ask you a question. If I could show you a way to never ever have to disagree with a customer or client again, never disagree with them, and yet still express honestly what you believed was right, would that be useful? Yeah. So you'd never have to have one of these again where you're pushing back and forth? That's what I'd like to show you. And the three phrases of the agreement frame are, I appreciate and, I respect and I agree and I'll show you how to use these, but jot them down for starters. I appreciate and, I respect and, I agree and. These three phrases, as simplistic as they are magical in how they can transform somebody from fighting you to being aligned with them and getting them to see your view simultaneously. And the secret to them is you basically acknowledge a human being sincerely. Now, how does this work? Well, let's say somebody has an objection. It costs too much. You go, no, it doesn't, scumbag. That rarely builds rapport. So that's one of these. Instead, what you need to do is align with them. Instead of fighting this, you want to be on their side. So what you want to say is, listen, I appreciate how you feel about that. And, or instead of fighting, you go, I respect how you feel about that. And, or, I agree how you feel about that. And now you can always respect, appreciate, or agree with one of two things that the prospect has said. You can either appreciate, respect, or agree with the feelings they're having, You go, but wait a second, Tony, I don't necessarily agree with them. You can appreciate them. Listen, if you grew up with their values and their beliefs and their background, would you probably feel the same way? It's highly likely, isn't it? So you can at least appreciate or respect their feelings, or you can appreciate, respect, or agree with the intent of what it is that they're saying. So an example of that would be, you say, listen, I really appreciate the intent of what you're saying. The intent is, you want us to represent ourselves in a way that's fair, and you want to get a fair deal for you and be fair to us. And I think that's more than admirable. Immediately there's alignment. And you may find, if you look at it this way, that it is fair. I don't know. Let's take a look. Now, will that person be able to hear you? Is that different than saying, you're wrong, or that's true, but? There's a huge difference in how people respond. Boy, if there's any word in your language you should become hypersensitive to, it's the word but. In our Unlimited Power Seminar, we program people to be totally sensitive to the word because it creates so many challenges for so many people. Let me give you a physical metaphor that I like to demonstrate this with. I'm going to take somebody here out of the audience and give you a demonstration of how to deal with an objection. Would you come up forward here? What's your name, sir?
Eric Schindler.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
So Eric is going to help me, and what I want Eric to do here is I want you to play full on so people don't think this is a setup so they can feel it. And what I want you to do is we're going to demonstrate what happens to most people when they get attacked.
All right.
And I mean attacked. Most salespeople feel like when somebody gives them an objection, they've just been attacked. So I want you to just like grab my wrist right there, grab it, both hands, and I want you to grab it as tight as you can. Like you have a real, bring it down right here, tighter, okay. But real tight, a little bit tighter.
All right.
Okay, good. That way when I throw you, you won't go as far.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Now, he's grabbed me tight. He's attacked me. He said, this is how it is, Robbins, and hold your ground. Mm-hmm. Now, what if I try and fight him? And I go, that may be true, but
this is how it is.
Okay. Who's in charge? If I say, hang on tight, if I say, that may be true, but, or you're right, but, he can be in charge. But if instead of fighting him, if he attacks me, and the minute he attacks me, I go, a chance to dance. And he grows there, and I take a look at that. Then instead of fighting him, I want to align with him. What does that look like? He attacks and goes, this is how it is. It costs too much. Instead of fighting, I go, I can appreciate that. And I align with him. I'm right next to him. And the harder he holds on to his idea, the more control I have of him. So he hangs on real tight. He says, this is how it is. I go, I can appreciate that. And and what literally happens, hang on there. Don't let go of your idea. The more he hangs on to me, the more control I have. If I fight, he can break my arm. But if no matter what he does, I align with him. I can say, I respect that. And I can take him wherever I want him to go. It becomes literally like a dance. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nice. Now the process, thank you. The process then is learning to align and not fight. Learning that when somebody gives you an objection, they are not your enemy. They are your friend, and they're trying to give you some feedback about some questions that are in their mind that they don't feel like got clear answers to. That's what we're really doing. So the whole idea is make them comfortable. Be on their side. Do not. If you fight them, you show that you're not a professional. If you fight them, you have just limited your income for the rest of your life as a salesperson. That's a pretty strong statement to make, and it's true. So hear me. If you fight prospects when they give you objections, your income and your career have just been limited. If instead you see it as a chance to dance, two energies to align and redirect, then you've created for yourself a future that's well beyond the average salesperson, an opportunity to play at whatever level you want, whether that be just being the best in your office or being in the 250 club. Either way, the possibilities are there if you learn to align and redirect. It's the most important way to influence with your children, too. Hey, I hope all the things you've been learning here in this course, you're not just applying to business. Think about it. Your kid comes and says, this is how it is. If you fight him and go, no, no, that's not how it is. I'm your dad. You're not going to persuade them. You might for the moment stop them, but you're not going to persuade them. Well, the best way to do it is go, you know, you may be right. Let me take a look. Well, what do you see about that? Yeah, I can appreciate that. And what if we looked at it this way? What do you think about that? And they're willing to hear you because they feel appreciated, respected, and agreed with. Now, beyond step six, once they have the cushion, we've given an emotional cushion. Other people feel that way. We're aligned with them. We're on their side. We're no longer back and forth from across where there is the customer and here we are. It's no longer like that. Instead, now, what's happening is we're aligned. We're in a position where we're on the same side right now, connected. So here's what we're going to do next. We're going to turn his objection into a question. We want to turn this person's objection into a question. How do we do that? Well, the simplest way to do that is, now that they're comfortable, all you want to learn to do is learn a phrase to say. And that phrase is this. That brings up a question. They say, it costs too much. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I've been to other places and this is just more expensive than anybody else. You know, I hear that from a lot of people. You're absolutely right. There is a large investment here. I appreciate how you feel about that. And that brings up a question. And the question is, in spite of blank, 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 and there you list the challenge, in spite of the cost, isn't the real question that, is it possible for you to be able to get much more benefit than what you're investing? Isn't that really the question here? Isn't the real question, can you get enough value to more than justify buying? Isn't that the real question? If the person says yes, you've just done something magical. You've turned an objection into a question. Now, why is that valuable? Well, because you can't answer objections consistently, but you can always answer a question. See, if you watch politicians and debates, it's pretty fascinating what they do. Somebody asks them a question, and they don't answer it. What they do is they take the objection or the input, and let's say they say, you know, the person says, the bottom line is this person's out of integrity. And the guy will say, listen, the real question here is not whether I'm out of integrity, but why this man has to continually attack my integrity in order to try and push himself forward in the polls. That's called reframing. That's taking somebody's objection and turning it into a new question and making people focus in a new way. Remember, questions are the focus and the genesis of human focus. If you change the question, you change the way people experience things. I saw something rather interesting. After the Republican National Convention in 1988, and Bush had just selected his vice president, and Mr. Quayle was being attacked viciously, CNN, and I believe it was CNN, I'm not positive about this, but I believe it was CNN, did one of those 900 polls, and the question they asked was, does it bother you that Dan Quayle used his father's and family's influence to get in the National Guard and avoid the draft? Call this 900 number for a yes, this 900 number for a no. Does anybody notice anything about that particular question? Yeah, that question caused people to focus on things in a certain way. It presupposed that he had actually used the influence. Now, I may have misinterpreted it, but I'm pretty certain that's what the question was, and I'm pretty sure it was on CNN. But the point is, that happens all the time, doesn't it? People ask questions that presuppose things. Well, you can ask questions that presuppose things in a positive way. In other words, what you want to do is you want to change their focus by turning it from an objection, which is this hard, real thing, into a question. Does this make sense to you? So how do we do that? Again, we do it with a simple phrase. After we've aligned with them, we go, I can appreciate how you feel about that, and I respect what you're saying about that. And what if we look at it this way? Or I have a lot of people tell me that. It is a major investment. And that brings up a question. And the real question, I think, is can you get, in spite of your concern, can you get much more value here than what you thought you could get? Or in spite of your concern, will you get what you really want by making this investment here? Won't you get that? Isn't that the real question? Or somebody says something like, I just don't have the money in the budget. So that's an objection. That's pretty hard to change, isn't it? If you say, well, you do have the money in the budget, that's not going to work. If you go, well, can't you find it somewhere else? They may go, well, no, because I just don't have money. Because in their mind, there's this objection, there's this thing, there's this wall called there's not enough money in the budget. How do you deal with it? Number one, you do what? Ignore it. Number two, what do you do? Listen and hear them. Number three, what do? Feed it back. Number four, what do? Question it. Say, I'm sure you've got a reason for saying that. Why do you say that? And they say, well, the reason I say that is because the bottom line is there's only so much there. Yeah, okay, well, I hear that a lot with companies I deal with. A lot of companies have already spent their budget for the year, and yet they still want the service. And I can really appreciate the pickle that puts you in. And I think that brings up a question. I guess the real question is, not what is your budget, but the question is, how can we make sure you get the benefits of this program right now? Isn't that really the question? Or the real question is, how do we organize the way we go about this in a way where you can get the benefits you want in spite of all that? Isn't that really the question? Once they say yes, all you have to do now is answer that question. All you have to do is now the focus is on how do we go about doing this so you can fund it. Does that make sense? Gosh, if there's anything I can drive home, it's this. And so we're going to have you practice this over and over again where people are going to give you objections and you're going to turn them into questions. Because this is a skill that whether you want to be a great politician, a great parent, a great persuader of any type, being able to take some input and turn it into a new question so the focus goes where you want it to go is a skill that most people do not have, and the few who do direct and influence the people around them by using this. So turn objections into questions. So another example is, how can we handle XYZ and give you the benefits that you really want so you don't have to suffer anymore through that process? A good way to ask a question is to open the hurt again. Make sure you're following me on this and stop for a second and refocus. If you're going to turn an objection into a question, why not make the question simultaneously remind them of their problem and their motivation to buy? So somebody says something like, gosh, I'd really like to do this, but I don't have the money. And you've gone through all the processes, and now you're back and go, I hear a lot of people say that. And you say, and that brings up a question. And the question is, even though you don't have the money, if you don't do this, won't it cost you a lot more? The real question is, how do we find the money so you can get the benefits now? Isn't that really the question, how to find it? Because you really want it, don't you? Well, yeah. Great, so the question is, how do we go about doing that? That's the question, right? Yeah. Now all you have to do is work on a strategy. It's no longer an objection, it's a refocused question. And the way to do it also would be to say, see, wouldn't it be important then for us to find out how you can do that so you don't have to go through the suffering anymore, so you don't have to be this far overweight anymore, so you could begin to change your goals now and not have to go through what you went through yesterday? See, if you can tie to the objection as you change it into question some pain, you're going to motivate that person to want to change more rapidly. Step number 8, answer the question. In other words, you've taken this objection and turned it into a question. How do you do it? So let's use the same example. Well, it costs too much. You've aligned with them. They're on your side. I can appreciate how you feel. And so that brings up a question. The question is, in spite of that concern, if we can give you the results we promise in this program, is it worth much more than that money? Isn't that the question? What's the worth? Well, I guess that's true. Yeah, that's it. So now we answer the objection. How do we answer the objection? Take a look at our cartoon here. First of all, we went from this person kind of standing next to him and give him a little pillow here, pillow of comfort, saying, you know, other people feel the way you do. We now got him sitting on the bench together where he's turning his objections into questions. He's saying, well, this is my objection. He's saying, well, that really brings up a question. The question is, and now you can see this guy's smiling, his horns are gone. Now what do? We're at step 8. We answer the question. And the way we do it is, our master persuader here says, to answer your question, my answer is, why Tom and Ed? You go, uh-oh, are you about to unleash another one of those distinctions for me? Yes. Why Tom and Ed stands for a breakdown of ways to handle objections. Jot them down in your notes. Why? Why is, if somebody gives an objection, question why they're even objecting. Why would you ask me that question, or why would you have that objection after you just told me how badly you need the product? Turn it right back on them. Why would you even come up with that objection when you just told me how desperately you need to make this change? And they go, well, yeah, I guess you're right. Boom, that can handle it right there. That's the why part. Tom and Ed, each letter stands for a way to handle an objection. And the way we've done this is, I want you to imagine on your shoulder, two little people, Tom and Ed. Tom is a guy who's wearing some suspenders, he's wearing some jeans, he's kind of a tough and rugged kind of guy, maybe even a hard hat. And that'll give you an idea of how this person deals with objections, kind of the tough and rugged way. Tom, T-O-M, stands for T, turn it around. Turn their objection back around right on them. What do I mean by turn their objection around on them? Well, a turnaround is one of the best ways to deal with an objection. Somebody's worked really hard, and they've come up with this whole thing saying, well, the real question is, I don't have a way to do this. I don't have the money. The way to handle that objection is turn around and say, that's probably the very most important reason why you should go to this program. That's the very reason you should do this. Or somebody says, well, I can't afford it right now. You say, you know, I can appreciate that because a lot of people say that. A lot of people say it's expensive and so forth. And I appreciate that feeling. And bottom line is, I guess the real question is, how do we make it work for you in spite of that? And I have to tell you that the fact you don't have the money is the reason you better do it now. That's the very reason, because it's only going to get more expensive and you're not getting any benefits the longer you wait. It's going to be harder in the future, not easier. The power of a turnaround is incredible. Because now you're taking the very thing that somebody is using in their weighing process. Remember what the selling process looks like again. Somebody is sitting here weighing whether they should do something or not. And they're in the process of weighing. And over here, they've got this objection called drab, and it's not enough money or it costs too much. And over here, you've been building all these reasons why they should buy. All these urbans and lurbans, emotional reasons to buy now and logical reasons to buy now. All these units of conviction, right? And so you've been trying to balance it out, but they've got this big heavy one, and they say, you know what? This is bigger than I think. I don't know that I can do this. And you say, well, maybe this is really just a question. It makes it a little bit lighter. And then you're saying, but you know what? That's the very reason why you should buy. It's like taking this off of here and putting it on this side. Whap! Now they bought. Do you follow me? It's like you've taken away their ammunition. It is absolutely incredible. And it's so simple, and you can do it with almost anything. So we're going to have you practice, one, turning objections into questions so it's easy and just automatic. I'm going to role play it. Would you be willing to do that? And then secondly, what we're going to have you do is we're going to have you practice turning around any objection. No matter what it is, you just turn it right back on them. I don't care what it is. And it's amazing how powerful it is. It's like reverse psychology. Now, that's the T of Tom. So Tom is kind of a strong guy. So what does he do? You throw an objection, whap, he turns it right around on you. O stands for making sure you outweigh it. So let's say the other way to handle an objection is they tell you it costs too much. And what do? You come over on this side and you give them more and more and more reasons why they should buy now. You outweigh it. And the best way to outweigh something is to use like a values question. A values question might be, let's say, for example, you know that one of their fears, one of the things that's keeping them from buying, is the belief that, let's say, they want to buy your life insurance policy, but they're concerned about the premium. So what could you say? You could turn to that person and say something like, I know you want blank. And the blank is some emotional need they have. Let's say, I know you want your son's education to be taken care of. I know that's really important to you. And you're kind of like opening a wound and getting something that motivates them, something they're really interested in, something that has weight in their life. Are you following me? So you get a big value, a big value. I know you want your son's education to be taken care of. And as you do that, you say, I know you've got some concerns about the premium. And so what you do is you acknowledge. You go, I know you want this, and I know you got this. And then all you do is you say, but isn't it true that your son's education is much more important than just the premium? So what's happened is you're contrasting the two. And obviously, this is going to be more important. What's he going to say? No, the premium is more important than my son's education? Okay. So outweighing an objection is a way to do it. Say, I know you want blank. I know you're concerned about blank, but isn't blank more important? That's a way of actually outweighing the objection. The M that Tom has, being a strong kind of person here, he's on your shoulder. So next time somebody has an objection, what do? Look at your shoulder and go, why, Tom and Ed? And they'll tell you what to do. Tom will tell you also the M stands for minimize. Minimize the objection. And a way to minimize it would be say, you're absolutely right. You know, it's a large investment. But I got a question for you. It's going to be how much, $1,000? And how long will you use it for? Well, I don't know, probably 10 years. How much is that a year? Well, it's about, $100 a year. How much is that a month? Well, it's less than $10 a month. How much is that a day? Will you be using this every single day? So you'd say, well, are you going to let something like 20 cents a day keep you from having what you know is really important to you? So that's an example of minimizing. Or reducing it to the ridiculous as it was taught to me when I learned it years and years ago. So Tom is, turn it around, outweigh it, or minimize it. Does that make sense? There's ways to handle objections so far. You want to turn into question first. Now, Ed's a different kind of dude. Ed is a more logical kind of guy. You might picture Ed over here on your shoulder, and he's the kind of guy that's wearing some nice glasses, and he's more studious looking. And Ed would handle things differently. Ed would just explain it. He'd explain why it costs more, and the fact that, yes, it costs more, but the bottom line is, here's what you get for it. So he'd explain the objection away. Or, the other thing he would do, Ed would deny it. He would say, that's just not true. You know, I know that that's the perception of what you've heard, but if somebody gives you an objection that is one of those objections where basically it's groundless, you must deny it. And deny it vigorously with congruency as long as it really is something to deny. In other words, it really is a groundless objection. So how to handle objections? Why, Tom and Ed? First response, look over there, why Tom and Ed on your shoulder? Any objection from now on, you should look at your shoulder. In fact, try it now, install them there. Imagine two little crazy guys, and I know this is weird, but you know what? The way you remember things is by making them unique, by taking time through repetition, and by making something weird or bizarre. That's how you memorize something or create a strong memory. So imagine, create two people right now on your left shoulder. Two people. Tom is kind of strong, he turns things around, he outweighs them or he minimizes them, and Ed, who's a little more studious kind of guy, who explains it or denies it. Put those right there until you can actually get imagine what they might be like, maybe what their voices would sound like. So the next time somebody gives you an objection, and you turn it back into a question, you just look over there and go, why, Tom and Ed? Why? Once again, repetition being the mother skill, let's go through it. Why? They give you an objection, why are you even bringing that objection up? I don't understand. You just told me that you needed this and this and this. You dump the objection right back on them. Well, yeah, I guess you're right about that. Tom, you look over at Tom. Tom just turns around. The fact that you said that is the very reason why you better get this product. The person says, well, we can't afford it right now. That's why you've got to buy this computer system. Because you're right now, the efficiency that you're losing would pay for the system. That's why you need to move ahead now. Very powerful. Turn them around. O, outweigh it. M, minimize it. E, explain it. D, deny it. Why Tom and Ed? That is step 8. That's how you answer the objection. What are the last two steps? Very, very simple. Step number 9, tie it down and test close. What does it mean? What it means is he's going to say, now that solves that, doesn't it? So in your opinion, would you want to do this for your whole family or just yourself? In your opinion, do you feel? Notice we didn't say, okay, so that handles that, so do you want me to fill out the paperwork? No. We're going to tie it down. We're going to say, make sure that they agree that that handles it, that we did answer their question effectively. Okay, so that solves that, doesn't it? They say yes or they say no. If they say no, then you'll say, I know, I'm sure you have a good reason for saying that. What's the reason? Do you mind my asking? Again, remember, if at any time in this process somebody brings up a new objection, like let's say up here, when you make it a final objection and you say, if we were to do X, Y, Z, and we were to meet those needs, just suppose we handled your problem, then would you feel like you'd want to move ahead? And the guy says no, then what do? You come right back down here and you feed it back. You take a slide down. And you go, no. And I'll say, yeah, no, because of this and this and this. And what do you say? Well, I'm sure you've got a reason for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what it is? Well, it's this and this and that. You make it a final objection. You go, okay, well, if we were to handle that, X, Y, Z, that, then would you want to move ahead? Do you feel like you'd want to move ahead? Well, yeah, then I would. Well, excellent. Well, I have to tell you that a lot of people tell me that challenge. And you know what? It really brings up a question, and the question is this. Isn't that really the question? Why, Tom and Ed? That handles that, doesn't it? So, in your opinion, do you feel like you'd want to do this with your whole family or just by yourself? Would you want to do this, do you think, starting in February, or would you want to start right now? So again, you're asking a test close. And the final step is assume the sale. Underline that 4 or 5 times. Your greatest asset in closing is assume the sale. Most effective persuaders use assumptive closes. You don't ever want to ask. You always want to assume, because at this point, you've done everything. You've prepared, you've turned yourself on, you've made contact and got their attention. You absolutely are connected to them. They feel like you're their friend. You've gotten their interest. You've found out their wounds and what they want most in life. You've really qualified them. You've absolutely got them convinced. You've got conviction within them that this is really useful, and you've tested them earlier so you know the value is really there and you're meeting their needs. You've come back and you've made it really real for them and you've begun to assume the sale. You've handled their objection. What's left? Assume the sale. And one of the best ways to assume the sale is congratulate the prospect on a wise decision. That's one of the ways to do it. Notice I didn't say thank them for the sale. I said, congratulate them on a wise decision. It firms up in their mind that they've done something right. It makes them focus on it was a wise decision instead of focusing on what did I just do. So another way to do that would be to take out your notebook and say, that takes care of that, doesn't it? So in your opinion, would you want to do this, do you think, for your whole family or just you? What do you think you might want to do? Well, I think my whole family. You pull out your notebook and you go, okay, great. What's your daughter's name? And you begin to do what we call an order blank close. You begin to fill it out. And they may stop you along the way and say, well, wait a second, I didn't say I was buying. What would you do to that? Basically what? Ignore it. So you'd say, well, you are interested in getting this result, right? Well, of course. Okay, great. What's your other daughter's name? And you go right back into closing, assuming the sale. Or you can get up and assume the sale. You can say, let me stop right now. Congratulations. Let me make a phone call right now so they lock that particular order in for you at the national office. Boom. They don't even have a chance. They go, and you make the call. The point of assuming the sale is to let the buyer know they've bought. That's the only purpose. It's not to ask, because you've already qualified. You've already gone through all those processes. Now all you want to do is let them know they've bought. That's the whole purpose here. And that's what you want to do in assuming the sale. So there are 10 steps. We've gone through them. And let's look at them in 2 phases here. Phase number 1, let's go through them quickly and rapidly. Phase number 1, somebody takes their spear, and they're mad as heck, and they throw that objection at you. What do? You're bigger than that. You stand nice and tall, and what's the first thing you do? Nice and loud? Everyone who's listening to me right now, shout it out loud. And the reason is not so we have a rev session here, but so you link it into your body. So the first time somebody throws you an objection, what do?
Ignore it.
Absolutely ignore it, because, you know, you may not even really mean it. Now, if they throw it again after the first time, what do you want to do?
Hear them out.
Because they're going to, good chance they'll just run out of steam. Now, if they keep on feeding it back, and you've already listened really well and heard them out, what do you need to do next?
Feed it back.
Feed it back nicely. Be nice. Don't go, so-and-so, so-and-so. Be real nice. Be gentle in the way you feed it back. And give it right back to them. Let them explain it. Now, if they still bring it up, what are you going to do next?
Question it.
Yeah, question it. And what are the words you're going to use? Because that's critical. You don't want to go, why do you say that? You want to get permission, and you want to do it in an elegant way. What are you going to say? I'm sure you have reasons for saying that. Do you mind if I ask what they are? Not at all. Well, what are they? And they'll begin to tell you. And when they tell you, what do you want to make sure you're doing? Make sure you listen. They're now giving you the key to the sale. Now, once we've gone through all these steps, the final step on this phase is make it a what? That's right. Make it a final objection. And the way to do that is use the as-if frame and a test close. And what you say to that person is, just suppose we're able to handle XYZ, then do you feel like you probably would X? Does that make sense? So those are the first five steps. Second step, five steps. Step six, now that you've made sure that's the real objection. By the way, what if up here they say, no, even if you did XYZ, I still wouldn't buy. What would your response be immediately? You'd come back down here, and what would you do? Feed it back. You'd say, you wouldn't do it? And they say, no, I wouldn't do it. And you'd say, what? Well, I know you have what? Reasons for saying that. And you start to climb back up again. Do you mind if I ask what it is? Not at all. It's because of this and this and that. Because the real problem is the convenience. It's not so much the money, it's the inconvenience. What do you do with that person? You say, well, if we're able to handle that inconvenience, suppose we could do that. Then do you feel like we can move ahead? Well, yeah. Great. Next, step six. Align with the prospect. Align with them. Come along and say, okay, listen, I have to also tell you, I know that, you know, the inconvenience is a legitimate concern. It is inconvenient. I appreciate, I respect, I agree. Lots of other people told me that. I have felt that way myself. You're right. And that brings up a what? What's the key word? What's the key word? That brings up a question. That brings up, lock it in. That brings up, so as soon as you say that, I agree, I appreciate, and the transition is, and that brings up a question. Say it. And that brings up a question. And that brings up a question. The question is, and the way you state is, the question is, in spite of these concerns, can we blank, blank, blank? In spite of these concerns, can we get you much more benefit by doing this or not? Isn't that really the question? In spite of these concerns, can we still get you much more of the benefits you want than the concerns? Isn't that it? Or in spite of these concerns, is it possible for us to get what you really want right now? Isn't that really the question? Or in spite of these concerns, how can we make this happen for you? Isn't that really the question? Because you want the result, don't you? And as soon as they say, yes, that's the question, you now can go to answer it. If they say, no, that's not the question, what are you going to say? Well, I'm sure you have what? Reasons for saying that. What is the question? And they'll tell you. And you go through the same process. But if they say, yeah, that's it, then you go to step eight. Step eight is what? Nice and loud.
Answer it.
And the way to do that is look to your left shoulder and say what? Why Tom and Ed? Why is ask them the question, like why are they even bringing up this objection? Make them feel weird about it. T for Tom stands for what?
Turn around.
So I say to you something like, well, I can't do it on Wednesdays. What you say? That may be the very reason why you should do this, so that you can develop enough free time to have Wednesdays. I don't have the money. That may be the very reason why you should do that. Turn it right back around. Are you following me? O stands for what? That's right, outweigh it. So what you do is you go over here and you give them more units of conviction, more reasons to buy now. The M stands for what? Minimize it. And then Ed, the other guy over there on your shoulder, who's a little more conservative, how would he handle an objection? He would what? Or he would? Excellent. So why Tom and Ed? So now that you've answered their objection, there's only two steps left. What are they? Tie it down, step nine, and what? Test close. What are you going to say? You're going to say, now that solves that, doesn't it? That answers the question, doesn't it? Tie it down. Don't just say that answers the question and move on. Make sure they commit to you that it really does. So that answers the question, doesn't it? Yes, great. Then my question to you is, do you feel like if we were to do this and this and this, that would be best for you, or do you think this would be best? How do you feel? They tell you the answer, and then what do you finally do? Assume the sale, close the sale, and do it by doing it through congratulating them, doing an order blank close, or any of the assumptive sales you've learned. Would you like to do this or would you like to do that? For either answer they give you, they've bought. Those are the 10 steps. So what I'd like you to do is kind of wrap these together in your mind. What you need to do is create some pictures in your head where you can link these clearly so that no matter what happens, you have a way to respond. Now you might be saying, Tony, but don't I have to learn all those words that I got to say, like ways to handle those objections? If you remember Why, Tom, and Ed, that'll handle almost anything. And if you remember one other aspect of handling objections, and that is this. If someone's objecting, it's because in their mind, buying would be more painful at this moment than not buying. They associate that. Or there's not enough desire. Recall, I told you when we first started, there are two things people have to buy, and remember these forever, forever. The two things people need to buy are, number one, they have to have enough want, enough desire. Now, if they don't have enough desire, or they don't want it badly enough, they're not going to buy. They're not motivated enough. How do you increase the want? The way you do that is real simple. You create more hurt. And the way you create more hurt is you ask questions and say, God, if you don't do that, what will that cost you? What will that cost you? Have them look at that. And the second thing that people have is they have to have justification to buy. And if somebody isn't buying, what you need to do is give them more justification. Show them a way to justify why they can buy this now. So we've covered a whole lot here. 10 steps to handling any objection, and the whole idea of not attacking objections, but turning them into questions and just answering their questions. The whole idea of aligning and redirecting. The whole idea that when somebody gives you an objection, you want to get excited because it means you now have an opportunity to close the sale. Enough talk from me. What we're going to do now is let's do some role playing and let's do some real practice on this last portion and get really good at handling any objection. Part of preparation is knowing that whatever objection a person comes up with, you can easily handle it. It's not hard. You don't have to worry about it. You're not concerned. Let's do that so you've got and you're ready for the final process, which is just assuming the sale. In fact, we've already begun that. The way we're going to assume it, though, is we're going to talk about making it easy and creating a future. So let's go practice until you're absolutely effective. So the next time somebody gives you an objection, you light up like a Christmas tree with excitement rather than being concerned. I'll see you in a few minutes.
This concludes the tape presentation.